Right before we get into the message, to the men first and then to the ladies, we have the men's prayer advance coming up, and that is toward the end of this month, January 23rd through the 25th. We leave on a Thursday morning. We come back on a Saturday afternoon. We go down to Virginia. And then the ladies is also coming up in March 19th through the 21st. We have what we call Just for Men, and obviously it is just for men. And we have meetings monthly here at the church. We intersperse that with several different activities. This year we did Gun Range Day. We went camping this year. We go to a men's retreat up in Tunnelton. You know, the Iron Man's Conference, several different things that we do through the calendar year. And the first event for Just for Men and for any of the men of the church will be this particular prayer advance. And it's probably the best thing that we do all year. Now, with the prayer advance, it is the only time where you might have to take a day or two off of work. The other events come on a Friday evening, Saturday, so we normally don't miss any work. Men, it is well worth you taking a few days off. And I really, really encourage you to do that. And come join us. And, you know, it's worth the money. It's worth the time. Great, great preaching. Evangelist Dave Young will be there. Other men will be there speaking. Of course, Harold Vaughn, I'm not related to him, by the way, but he will be there. Obviously, he runs that ministry. So if you can come, go ahead and sign up in the back. Ladies, there's also a sign-up list that's been up for almost 2 months now. We'd love for you to come take part in those special times. Also, Paul mentioned that this Saturday will be our Outreach Saturday. I'd like you to get the year started right. And if you can come out and help us on Saturday morning, we meet here at 10:30. And then we go out, of course, according to the weather. If the weather is bad, we won't send you out door knocking. And I don't force people to go door knocking. So if you come and you would rather not do that, two things. One, if you say, I'm really not comfortable talking to people, then you can accompany me or accompany somebody else that does. I've told this story before when I was in Atlanta. I had a man who was a good witness at work. He was our bus mechanic and our bus ministry down south. And I would ask him to go out door knocking with us. And he'd always say, well, I can't. He'd always have an excuse not to go. Finally, he just leveled with me one day. He said, Pastor, I just don't like confronting people that I don't know. I said, you don't have to. I said, you just come and go with me. I'll do all the talking. And when I left there to come up here, he was probably the most prolific soul winner our church had. I mean, even where every week he'd just go out, even if others weren't going out, he'd just go out by himself, even on Sunday afternoons, just to go out door knocking, telling people about Jesus. So you never know. If you don't feel comfortable with that, come out. And if we are able to do that, weather permitting, then you can go with one of us, and we'll do all the talking. You just come and partner with us. You know, Jesus sent people out two by two. And so we would love to have you come out this Saturday morning. Just a lot of things coming up. Evangelist Pat Tanner with our time of refreshing. We do this every January. It is a time of just getting ourselves geared up for the new year, get ourselves back where we ought to be spiritually. And Pat has become a very effective evangelist. He has been here before, and I heard him and his family sing a few weeks ago at another event, and they have become quite the musicians. So they'll be singing every service. Monday through Wednesday, we will have Children's Church. The Tanner will take care of that as well. So it will be a good week, Monday or Sunday through Wednesday. We want you to come out, invite friends out for that. But it's really for the church family, just to get our hearts and minds geared up for the year of 2020. So I trust that you will be out for that. So this morning, I'd like you to go ahead and take your Bible and turn back again with me to Proverbs chapter 28. Proverbs chapter 29, rather. We'll be looking here in just a few moments. Proverbs chapter 29, we'll be looking at verse 18 here in a few moments. Let's have a word of prayer. We'll get right into the message this morning. Lord, again, without you, you tell us we can do nothing. Whether it's singing, whether it's working, whether it's preaching, whether it's even listening. Father, we attempt to do things without you, and we fail. Lord, I cannot do this without you this morning. And quite honestly, if people are to get anything out of what is said today, they need you to help them to listen. They need you to work in their lives. And I ask you to do that for each of us. We'll thank you for what is done. We'll pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, the year is completed almost, just a few days left in 2019, and a brand new year is on the horizon. Just seems unbelievable that we're about to enter into 2020. That sounds so strange, doesn't it? 2020. It seemed like yesterday was, we were in 1999 entering 2000. Remember that? You know, Y2K. You know, all the computers were going to shut down, and, you know, everybody was kind of, and I thought it was a legitimate concern. You know, all the experts were saying, you know, we're going to have this massive problem. People buying generators, even the church, we bought a generator back then just in case. Of course, it's come in handy since because we've had to use it at different occasions. You remember that? Well, we blinked, and it's 2020. It's hard to believe, isn't it? And that's great. Listen, our good God is giving us another year to love Him. Our good God is giving us another year to serve Him. Our good God is giving us another year to draw closer to Him. I hope when we stand here in just a moment and we're about to enter 2021, we will say, I drew closer to the Lord. I've learned to love Him more and more in the year 2020. I hope we can say that about this year that is soon to fade into the history. Let me tell you, folks, God is good. No matter what's happened in your life, and listen, our family has had some difficulties this year, and many of your families have had difficulties this year. You've had struggles and heartaches. But listen, God is good. That is His character. And even when bad things happen, listen, God is still good. And you are wise to follow the God who is good. You're wise to follow Him. This year, this new year coming, I think has great potential because I think there's going to be some very significant things that are going to happen for this church, for our nation. And I don't want to get sidetracked talking about politics and all that thing, but you know what's going on in our country. And you know what? The reality is we're getting closer and closer to His return. I know we say that all the time, but the reality is that's true. We are closer than we've ever been to His coming back. And of course, just the number 2020 kind of has a ring to it, doesn't it? It really does. Now, I'm going to kind of sidetrack here for a moment. I'm going to have you turn back before we actually look here in Proverbs. I'm going to go back to Acts chapter 20, verse 20. Now, I've shared this with you in years past. When I was first in ministry, one day, just in my Bible reading, I'm reading here in Acts chapter 20. And as I come to verse 20, very famous words, words you know well, and how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and have taught you publicly and from house to house, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. That's salvation. In order to be saved, you have to repent toward God the Father who is holy, and He will not accept you with your sin. No matter how many good works you do, He will not accept you because every good work you do is tainted by the evil. You realize the book of Proverbs says even the plowing of the wicked is sin. And the word plowing means exactly that, plowing. He said their sacrifices that He brings to them, their good works, are abomination to Him. So if you sit here today and say, well, you know, I try to serve God, that God is not impressed. The only thing that has ever satisfied God, and it's only mentioned one time in Scripture in Isaiah 53, where God the Father says, I'm satisfied with one man, the man who gave His life on Calvary. I've never satisfied Him. You have never satisfied Him outside of Jesus Christ. The only man who ever satisfied God was God's own Son, Jesus Christ. And when we become Christians, when we truly get saved, listen, He tells us that we have been created in Christ Jesus unto good works. Now all of a sudden, the good things that I do count. They will be rewarded. But before I was created anew in Christ Jesus, my works counted for nothing. All of our unrighteousnesses, or all of our righteousnesses, are as filthy rags, Isaiah said. There's none that doeth good, no, not one, the Apostle Paul said in the book of Romans. He said, we are together become unprofitable. Everything we do is unprofitable before God until we come to know Christ. But once we come to know Him, those works count. And one of the great works that a Christian can do is telling others about the Lord Jesus Christ.
publicly, as I'm doing right now, or going house to house, you know, what we do often here out in our community, or in the workplace, or in your neighborhood, or at the schoolhouse, wherever it may be. Now, years ago when I read this, I thought, Acts chapter 20, verse 20. Oh, 2020. Now, for years I prided myself never having to wear these. I can't stand these things. They give me headaches. I don't like wearing them. But now I have to have them for reading. But for years I had 20/20 vision. And I'm reading that passage, I'm thinking, this is God's 20/20 vision to have people come to know Him as their personal Savior. That is God's heart. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That's God's heartbeat. And that's God's 20/20 vision. So when I was young in ministry, I came up with this message, God's 20/20 vision. I told you that years ago. Well, I'm traveling in North or South Carolina somewhere, and I turn on Christian radio. As I'm listening to the radio station, there is an old minister. And I think the man may have actually been dead. You know, a lot of times they'll still play, you know, these ministers who have long since passed, they still play the radio broadcast. And he says, well, I want you to turn to the book of Acts today, to chapter 20 and verse 20, and we're going to look at God's 20/20 vision. I thought, he stole my title to my message, except he was already passed away, and that message had been preached decades before. So I'm thinking, you know, there's really nothing new under the sun. Nothing new under the sun. But listen, God's 20/20 vision. So now I can't help but think that as we enter 2020, we need a vision. We need a vision. And that's what we find here in Proverbs chapter 29. You realize that God used visions to speak to people in the Word of God. Before there was a completed canon, a completed Bible, God would speak to people in visions. You find that throughout. We're not going to look at these scriptures, but you find God speaking to Abraham in Genesis 15:1 through a vision, to Ezekiel in Ezekiel 11:24 in a vision, to Daniel in Daniel 8:1 in a vision, to Zacharias in Luke 1:22, to the women at the graveside in Luke 24:23, to Paul in the book of Acts, chapter 9, verse 10, to Peter in the book of Acts, chapter 11, verse 5, and even to a lost man, Cornelius, in Acts chapter 10, verse 3. God spoke to these people by vision. They all saw a vision. And I want to say this morning. I'm not talking about extra-biblical revelation, but what I am saying to you is, according to Proverbs 29, verse 18, you and I need a vision too. You and I need a vision too. Again, look at Proverbs chapter 29, verse 18 once again. Where there is no vision, the people perish. But he that keepeth the law, happy is he. Now again, this is not a new verse to you. But we're going to renew our thoughts toward this verse, a verse I'm sure you've heard preached often from others in the past. The first thing I want you to notice in this verse is this. Without vision, people perish. Obviously, they need a vision of Jesus Christ to come to know Him as their personal Savior. But listen, He's not talking to unbelievers here. He's talking to God's people here in the book of Proverbs. And He says, without vision, people perish. Now, the first thing I want you to notice about this is the word people. That is, obviously, plural. Person, singular, people, plural. He said, without vision, people perish. But to get a vision, listen, to get a vision really is obtained on an individual basis, because the next part of the verse says, but he. It doesn't say they. Where there is no vision, the people perish, but he. Listen, to get a vision for the people of Grace Baptist Church, for God's people, wherever they may be, to get a vision, it has to be obtained on an individual basis. Second thing I want you to notice, that vision comes from the law. Vision comes from the law. Notice in that second half of the verse, but he that keepeth the law. So when he talks about the law, what is he talking about? Well, remember the words of Psalm, the first Psalm, verses 1 and 2. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. How about the famous verse there in Joshua chapter 1, verse 8? This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. Now listen, for then shalt thou make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Success, according to God, comes when we meditate in His law. Psalm 119, verses 1 and 2. Blessed are the undefiled in the way, who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are they that keep His testimonies and that seek Him with the whole heart. I've mentioned to you at times, when I sit down to read my Bible, often I will quote this verse found in Psalm 119, verse 18. Open thou mine eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. If I am to have a vision, if God's people, a church family, like here at Grace, if we're to have the right vision, then it is going to be obtained on an individual basis. But he that keepeth the law, that gets himself in the law. Now, you say, how do I know he's not just talking about maybe the first five books of Moses, because that's where you find the Ten Commandments, that's where you find the elongated presentation of those Ten Commandments and statutes and ordinances and all that in those five first books of the New Old Testament, rather. Well, I want you to go to the book of James for a moment. James chapter 1. Turn over to James chapter 1, and I want you to look at chapter 1. We're going to begin to read in verse 22. James chapter 1, verse 22. I like to hear those pages flipping. So unless you have a computer screen, get your Bibles open. Chapter 1, verse 22. But be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. Now notice verse 25. But whoso looketh into the perfect what? Law of liberty. Here in James, he defines, if you would, what the law of liberty is. It is the word of God. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. Just as we find back in Joshua 1:8, just as we find in Psalm 1:1 and 2, God says, I'll bless the man, I'll bless the woman who is in my law, who spends time in my law, and is not just a hearer of it, but a doer of it. A doer of it. Third thing I want you to notice is this. That happiness is gained by keeping the vision that the law gives. You see, in reality, I as God's spokesman to you, and I say that very carefully, I'm not saying that as the Pope might say, you know, the vicar of Christ, and I'm not putting it that way. I'm just saying that God has used me as a pastor to speak His word to you. But there is a greater importance of you hearing from God Himself. I mean, it's great when you sit in a Sunday school class, and you ought to be in Sunday school. You ought to be in Bible study. You ought not just to come to the morning service. You ought to be in a class somewhere. We got a lot of good teachers. Listen, whether it's the teacher at the lectern or the pastor in the pulpit, you will learn. God will use these things because He's ordained these things. But much more so that you get alone privately with God every day and get a vision from Him, get a vision from God Himself. And that vision comes by keeping the vision that that law gives. Now you notice here in Proverbs 29:18, the word keepeth. What does that word mean? Well, you know, Paul wrote to women, he says, you are to be a keeper at home. And the word keeper or the word keep means that you guard it, you protect it. Well, that's one of your responsibilities, ladies, to be a keeper at home. That just doesn't mean keeping the house orderly and neat and clean. It means being a guard, a protector of it. It's one of your responsibilities. Now that same attitude is here in the Old Testament, here in Proverbs 29:18, that you're to protect and guard what God has given you with His vision. But it also carries the meaning of attending to it or observing it. Happiness is gained by keeping or attending to or observing the vision that comes from the law of liberty, this Bible. Now remember, the word vision and I didn't say this earlier, so I'm going to remind you now, the word vision means what you think it means, to see something, to have sight. But it also carries the meaning of oracle. An oracle. It seems kind of strange that that meaning would be attached with the word vision here. So what does the word oracle mean? Well, the word oracle means an utterance from God. An utterance from God. So as you read this verse, Proverbs 20:19, he is saying to you and me that we are to have a vision, and that vision comes from an oracle or the utterances of God. And where do you find the utterances of God? In this book. In this book. Three times in the New Testament, you find the phrase, the oracles of God. It's found in Romans chapter 3, verse 2, 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 11, and in Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 12. I'm going to read to you Hebrews 5, 12, and I want you to listen to this. For when the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. What is he referring to? As the writer of Hebrews addressed those people, he said, you ought to be teaching the word of God to others. You should have developed such an appetite that you're no longer sucking milk, but you are eating the meat. You are growing spiritually. But instead of you growing spiritually, you're still immature. You're still like a baby in Christ, and you don't have the ability, and you're still bound on the basic principles, the basics of Christianity, when you should be advancing in your own theology, when you should be growing in your walk personally with Christ. You are a priest, lady. You're a priest before God. Sir, you're a priest before God. Teenager, if you're saved, you're a priest before God. And one of your responsibilities as a priest is to know this book. To know this book. We are a royal priesthood, told us twice by Peter. Told us once in Revelation chapter 1, I think it's verse 6, that we're kings and priests before God. Every born-again child of God is a priest for him. In 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 19, we hear these words, we have also a more sure word of prophecy. He said, you do well that you take heed to that word. And he explains in verse 20 what that prophecy is. Knowing this verse, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. What I'm saying to you is this, that the word vision used here in Proverbs 29:18 is really a reference to the Scripture, both Old and New Testament. And he said, you get vision when you go to the oracle of God, the Scripture, and let him teach you. Where there is no vision, where there is no time in the oracles of God, the Scripture, people perish. Now again, he's not talking to the lost there. He's talking to you and me. He's talking to you and me who are his children. He's not talking about people perishing and dying in their sin, going to hell. That's not the point. The point is where we ought to be having success in our lives, as Joshua 1:8 says. We fail to have the kind of success he wants us to have because we don't get vision from God's oracle, from his words, his utterances found in the words of God. Happiness is gained by keeping, attending to the word of God, the vision that the law, the Bible, gives to you and me. So, think about the verse again. Where there is no vision, no time spent in the oracles or the Scripture, the people perish. But he, individually, that keepeth, not only guards this book and the preciousness of it, but observes it and heeds it, happy is he. You want happiness, as God equates happiness, it's found when you individually take time to get into this book. In your bulletins was a reading schedule for 2020. It's not meant to be just stuck in there. I didn't ask my wife to get these and put them in the bulletin just to waste your time. I'm giving them to you so that you can keep yourself apace to read through the Bible at least once this year. There's not a person in this room who can't do that, from the youngest person to the oldest person. 20 minutes in Scripture a day will get you through the Bible in a year's time. 40 minutes a day will get you through it twice. Listen, you can do this. You know what? It's thrilling to me. Last year, when we had the schedule, Harold came up after about 2 months, and he said, Pastor, and he showed it to me, all filled out. He had already read through the Bible in about a two-month period. Now, listen, I know Harold's retired, and he has a little more time than a lot of you do, so I'm not saying you got to read through the Bible in 2 months, but I am saying, listen, it can be done. Patty came up to me, and how many times now, Patty, have you been through God's Word?
I just started on my 30th
time. Her 30th time through the Word of God. Listen, it can be done. Where there is no vision, remember the word vision means the oracles of God, God's Word. Where there is no vision, the people what? Perish. God's people perish. We begin to falter in our walk with Him. And you see those who are, I believe there are a lot of Christians, born-again people, genuinely saved, who go astray. But he, individually, that keepeth, that observes, not only guards it, but observes, happy is he. He that keepeth the law, the Word of God, happy is he. So, get a vision for the Word of God. Because in that Word of God, you're going to find this. You're going to find a vision for others. And it's not just going to be a few people who catch the vision of Acts 20:20. It's going to be a bunch of people who say, you know what? I got a neighbor who needs to hear the gospel. I got a boss who needs to hear the gospel. I got a cousin or a grandfather or an aunt or an uncle that needs to hear the gospel. I have a next door neighbor that needs the gospel. There's a community that needs the gospel. And I can give one Saturday a month, just a couple hours, to go out and help reach people with the gospel. Listen, you find through these words a vision for others. You find a vision for missions. This church, for its 40, now almost 41 years of existence, has always supported missions. Always. I'm just going to be real honest with you. We had last year in our Faith Promise commitment some $50,000+ committed to Faith Promise, and we are coming quite a bit under that this year. Some who said, I'm making a commitment to give so much to missions, Faith Promise missions, may not be keeping your commitments. Now listen, you keep yourself in this book, it'll help keep you tender toward others. It'll help keep you tender about keeping missionaries on the field. Where there is no vision, the people perish. I think about Acts 16:9. You don't have to turn there, but just listen. And a vision appeared to Paul in the night. A vision appeared to Paul in the night. There stood a man of Macedonia and prayed him, saying, come over into Macedonia and help us. Not many could go to Macedonia, but God had ordained Paul to go. Not many of us can go to Iceland. Maybe none of us. But God has called the Shavers there. Not many can go to England, but God has called the Greens there. Not many can go to Italy, but God's called the Childers there. Not many can go to Lima, Peru, but God's called the Carltons there, and so forth. Listen, you may not be able to go to those places, but those people have been called. Enoch and Ariel are down in Mexico City right now. They've been called. And we have the privilege, through this book, of keeping a vision. The last thing I ever want to see this church do is falter in reaching people around the world with the gospel. That should be priority number one for us as a congregation. Reaching our own community and reaching the world with the gospel. Reaching the world with the gospel. I think sometimes I have failed, maybe failed miserably, in trying to keep that vision before you. You know, we do missions emphasis every Sunday night, most Sunday nights anyway. We have missionary guests come in here often. On occasions we take missions trips, things like that. I really don't know what else to do. I just want to see us grow in this ability to get people out, winning people to Christ. But part of that responsibility rests with me, and part of the responsibility rests with you. Where there is no vision, the people perish, but he individually that keepeth the law, that observes the word of God, happy is he. Happy is he. So instead of saying, oh man, more money, our attitude would be, I can't wait to be able to give. I can't wait to be able to help people get the gospel out. Listen, you take time the word of God, it'll give you a vision for service. John 12:26, Jesus said this, if any man serve me, let him follow me. And where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. You realize it's a blessing and a privilege to serve God. I wish I could stand here and tell you every time I do something, I do it with an attitude of serving God. I'll just be real blunt with you. My load has become more heavy since Brother Phil left. And by the way, I've already looked at two men, looking at two more. We're going to have somebody in here, hopefully, you know, sometime soon. But the reality is this. Sometimes, because of the extra burden, and I've had a chaplain ask me to come speak constantly at a state prison here. I've taught Bible college. I'm doing a lot of things in the church and outside the church. My load is heavy. And I'm going to be honest with you. I'm not asking for any sympathy. But sometimes with that load, I don't always do it with an attitude of serving Christ. Sometimes it's like, man, I wish I didn't have so much to do. You know, my attitude sometimes stinks. Have you ever been there? Well, you know, like when you teach Sunday school, you ever get the attitude of, man, I got to prepare again. I got to go out on visitation again. I got to work in the nursery again. I got to drive that church van again. I got to go work in the manor again. Listen to that verse. If any man serve me, then say serve the pastor or serve, you know, my brother or sister, but serve me, Jesus Christ. Let him follow me. And where I am, there shall my servant be also. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. And I found myself sometimes, even tedious things, like coming in here on Saturday, and if I see something that's not quite clean, I clean it. If things are out of order, I put them in order. I make sure the building's ready for Sunday, people coming in, getting the coffee pots ready, stuff like that. I think pastors can do those things. And sometimes my attitude can be just rotten. Everything I do, whether it's something menial like that, and that's kind of a menial task, or it's preaching the gospel to somebody, it ought to always be done for Christ. And so sometimes when I start to get a bad attitude, the Holy Spirit will say, who are you doing this for? When I used to mow lawns here, sometimes I get a nasty attitude, and the Holy Spirit will say, who are you doing this for? Make sure whatever you do for Christ, you do it for Him. For Him, not for Pastor Vaughn, not for somebody else, you do it for Him. And one day, listen, one day when you stand before Him, your reward will be great. There are many, many passages about reward. And you say, well, I don't think we ought to serve God out of reward. I do. I do. I think you should. Well, I think as you serve for reward, you're going to grow in your love for Him. But I think it's perfectly fine to serve Him so that one day you can stand before Him and hear Him say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. I think that'll be a great thing to hear. Get a vision for God's Word. I mean, recommit yourself to this book this year. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. With my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in mine heart. Why? That I might not sin against thee. There's only one thing that can really keep you from sin. It's the power of the Holy Spirit working in your life through this book. This book will keep you from sin. This book will keep you from sin. It'll give you strength. How about this? How about a vision for your family? How about a vision for your own personal family? Parents, are you concerned about the direction of your children? Are you concerned about the things that are in their life and that are influencing their life? Some of you need to make changes as parents. There's some influences that you need to remove from your children's lives that are going to possibly pull your children in a direction you don't want them to go. There needs to be some recommitments from some men in this auditorium that would say, I'm going to be, as God has designed me, to be a priest before Him. I'm also going to be a priest for my family. I'm going to do all I can to protect my family and to minister God's word to my family. The threefold key of God's word, being in God's house to hear God's men preach. Secondly, individually, every day, spending time alone with God. And thirdly, as a father, or if you're a mom who has no man in the home, the mom taking that role and taking time with your children every day to spend time, or at least how many times a week you can, to spend time in God's word. That threefold cord is hard to be broken. God will use that. But you have to have a vision individually for your family. There's three ladies sitting here right now that are going to give birth. You and your husbands, listen, you need to commit yourselves. We're going to spend time raising our children, that child under the nurture and admonition of the Lord. We're going to cause them to be influenced by God's word. Not the local basketball club, not this and that and everything else that influences our kids. God's word, the priority in your child's life. Amen. Recommit yourself to it. Get a vision. Because where there is no vision, the people perish. But he that keepeth the law, happy is he. Happy is he. And that can be true for you as we end 2019 and head into a pivotal year for this church and for our nation. The year of 2020. Let's bow our heads for prayer. As I look across the auditorium, more than likely, you are already a child of God. You know Him as your personal Savior. But if that would not be the case, and you know that you've never put your trust in Him, it'd be a very great privilege for us to be able to take the Word of God and show you how you can know for certain that you are on your way to heaven. So if that is a question in your heart, in just a moment we'll have a time of invitation. If you'd like to come, we'll have somebody step aside and show you how you can know without doubt that you're on your way to heaven. Most of you, being God's children, maybe you just need to recommit yourself to that vision. So I encourage you this morning just to come as we end 2019 and begin the new year of 2020. I encourage you to come to this altar, just fall before Him and say, God, I commit myself to You in 2020. To get a vision for Your law, to get a vision that will affect others, will affect my family, will affect my ministry here in the church. Get a vision. Father, I pray You take and work through what we've heard today, and we'll thank You for it. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Let's all stand.